it's a reality.
Ecclesiastes 12.
In the beginning.
In verse 10, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words. Remember that word acceptable in the Hebrew is delight, or that which brings delight. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. Now, I read a bunch of other stuff since the last time we met about this verse, and without exception, this applies to, in all yearly writings, he sought to find out the days of Messiah. And this specifically refers to the day of Messiah, because that is that which is the delight, and that is that which is upright. And so we went backwards and we referred to Proverbs 8:11. So go back there a minute.
Can I ask a question? You said the first the preacher sought to find acceptable words, but you said it was like...
The word acceptable, that's translated in Hebrew. The Hebrew word that's translated acceptable is really the word, the Hebrew word for delight or full delight or delightsome or purpose.
Which is days of Messiah, which is, I thought I heard you say it as if it were words that tickled your ears.
No, that's... So Proverbs 8, never mind, I won't go there. Proverbs 8. Verse 11. Verse 10. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Now, one of the rabbis that I particularly like said that the meaning of this is that the preacher sought to fathom when the end would be, when the days of Messiah. And because all things to be desired are not compared to it. And so the only thing that the scriptures from the beginning to the ends declare that are to be desired are the days of Messiah. And he answered, God said to him, I have already accomplished it. I have already accomplished the days of Messiah. And the reference verse for this is Isaiah 63. And this is this, and what we're about to read over and over, the rabbis that saw and knew said, well, listen to the next verse if we're going to go. Isaiah 63. I have trodden the winepress alone, verse 3, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And so, again, just studying the verb tenses of this, it's the day of the redeemed is come, and he's already accomplished the day of vengeance. Now, the proof text for this is Joshua. Go to Joshua 21. When they first, right back at the beginning, when they entered the land. Joshua 23. Excuse me, Joshua 21. I'm sorry. Verse 43. Now listen carefully. This is what is said is always true. And what we've just read, all things are desired and not compared to her. This is now in verse 43 and 43 to 45. And the Lord God, and the Lord gave the Israel all the land which she sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all of their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Now, from God's perspective then, all is already finished. The land that he gave wasn't the parable, the piece of land in Israel. The land that he gave was the New Jerusalem. It's always been true. It will always be true. Now, do you understand? These are the rabbis now that said this about the time of Christ. They said this is always true. The Lord gave Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt in it. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. And the Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. And it's still true. There are no enemies except you. Your mind, your thoughts. The same enemy has always been the same enemy. The others just typified it. They just made it manifest so you could see it with your eyes and come to the end of what's going on in you. And the amazing thing to me is that the rabbis that saw said and knew that this was always true. They were never waiting for anything to happen. Now, are you waiting for something to happen? Then you've denied it is finished. You've denied this.
So are here, you? They stood outside of time and saw God's
perfection. Because they still had, there's still plenty of the enemy tribes in the land at this time, so they were seeing the completion.
Right, and that's all that whoever wants us to do is see that it's finished. Now, that's so awesome to me. That's so this was said 1,400 years before Christ. So this was almost 3,500 years ago. So what's going on then? What's this stuff we call progress?
Well, more interesting to me, what's all this stuff we call trouble?
Yeah.
What's all this stuff we call not being this? And to me, the corollary to this is what we talk about making the Holy Spirit your enemy.
Right.
Calling God to kick your ass, basically.
Because you testify
because
something
you testify
other than this. I just, this, what's that?
That was a Careful. Message. Somebody called me, left me a message. You want me to play?
No. And so it goes, bing bong?
That's all I'll know.
An angel just got his wings?
I think I know what that means. That's from the One for Life? Yeah. All right. Anybody have any comments about that? Anybody believe it?
I have a question. With reference to the passage in Proverbs that you quoted, which is all phrased in the feminine gender, much has been made of that. I wonder what your interpretation of it is or how you see it.
The feminine gender is always, the wisdom is always the feminine gender because it's the fruit of God, which is the bride.
Which is bride.
Right, which Israel was the type of the bride. The word peculiar, we are peculiar people. I mean, that's the feminine, the verb form, I am. So, and I am can have no modifiers. That's why we can either be rich or poor, or young or old, black or white, Greek or Jew, Americans or Incas, or either matter. There's no, that lot's gone.
She was coming out of her.
All right, now let's go back to, this, to me, this wraps up everything in Ecclesiastes. Now we're going to get the final.
It's like there's no place to go from here, because this is the end of the line. Perfection of seeing like God sees.
Then, verse 11. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the master of the assembly, which are given from one shepherd. Now, the words of the wise are as goads and nails. Now, this gets wild. What is a goad? That's the question. The eternal question that Wade asked, what is a goad? It's sort of like whoever asked, what is truth?
Where do questions come from?
I don't know. A goad is a straight branch of an oak or other very strong wood from which the bark has been stripped and which at one end has a pointed sharp spike and at the other end a flat chiseled shaped iron, like a shovel kind of piece thing. So it's a point and a shovel. The pointed end is used to prod the oxen while plowing. The flattened iron at the other end is to scrape off the earth, which clogs the plowshare. And they're still used today. But go to Judges 3.
So the basic word goad is what it is, like you goaded into something.
But word goad in here doesn't apply to anything other than this thing.
The tool itself.
The tool. Judges. No. Judges 3. First time it talks about the goad. And we could spend that all day on this, but right now we're just going to look at verse 31. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. Now, you can refer to that, you can go study that a bit in Samuel. But the idea that somehow Israel was delivered with the goad is kind of interesting. Let's go to Zechariah 12, because the goad the shovel wasn't the instrument that he killed the 600 men with; it was the pointed end. Zechariah, chapter 12.
Verse
Well, it's all about if you look at it when you if you read in that day, it's always in that day and that day and that day and that day. Remember, that day is what I believe that day began when Christ died and the sun set. The sun was darkened. That was the beginning of the last day. And we've been in the night of the last day for 2,000 years. It's always been finished. It's always been done. The night has come when no man can work. Now, and let's go to verse 8. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. That's kind of, they shall look upon him who they have pierced. Now let's go to John 19. He's been crucified. They've nailed his hands and legs. I mean, his hands and his feet. And then in verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Again, "It is finished. It is finished. It is finished." Now, what was finished? It was the last chance for the human race to gain redemption by anything that they do or anything that they can happen. Then now the night has come when no man can earn anything, you can't do anything, you can't accomplish anything. So this is cosmically finished. And we live in that deception that it isn't finished. We live, but the evil one has deceived the entire world. All the world, the entire world, including you and I, are wandering after the beast, which is us. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Why? Because it took many days, normally, or a long time for him to die. So they were crucified, hanging, but not yet quite dead, like some of us. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first of the other, which was crucified with him. So they break the we don't know which, whether or not Jesus was in the middle, but they broke the legs of the two thieves. And then they died because when they broke their leg, they suffocated because we've gone through all that many times. And came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his legs. But one of the soldiers with his spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith truth, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture might be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And another scripture saith, they shall look on him who they have pierced. Now, Let's go to Revelation 1. Starting verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and to his Father, To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. So again, there's something mysterious about being the pierced. They shall look upon him who he appeared, who they have pierced. And let's do one more, Psalm 22, the crucifixion psalm. You should read this whole psalm, but we're going to just read.
You said 24?
22. Start at verse 16. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may count all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon. But they pierced my hands and my feet. Again, referring back to this, the nails, which we're going to study in a minute. But what happens? What are the words of the wisdom? What are the words of the wise? It says, they're as goads and nails fastened by the master of the assembly, which are given from one shepherd. So there cannot be any wisdom of God that doesn't testify of the goad and the nail, the piercing. And in other words, that cannot testify and does not testify, not just of his death, but of your death. Because it says we are crucified. We died on that cross. Let's go look in again, just for to put a stamp on it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. One of the weirdest sentences.
To me, without the understanding of this point, if you don't see that, then all other scriptures interpreted by your mind.
By yourself. What does this mean to me? How can I use this?
Right.
Because you'll always see only you.
And you'll go in as many directions as there are people reading it.
Right. There's something like, two or 3,000 separate Protestant denominations.
In the ignition.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Again, this scripture cannot make sense to your mind. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The human race died on the cross. No man cometh to the Father but by him. That's not a moral option. That's an eternal fact. It's certainly nothing that you can gain righteousness from. If you gain any righteousness from it by asking if you're saved or not saved, then that means that you didn't die on the cross. You still are living in the false identity. This guy you've invented. Okay, back again. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the master of the assembly, which are given from one shepherd. We'll study nails a little bit tomorrow. What?
Me.
You.
I just like the fact that you entered in the middle of the sentence. From goads and nails.
I figure you can read. Anybody have any?
Just the idea that that tool was such an incredible, what's the word, metaphor? The idea of it being a goad and to clean off the plowing instrument is just, and that's what wisdom is. Incredible symbol.
I love it that that guy, well, I don't love that he killed him, but that the type, he killed 600 guys with Shagmar or whatever his name is. Anybody else?
Every once in a while we need a sharp stick in the ass.
It's prying, it's slowly coming to the final of all of life by understanding the Book of Book of Ecclesiastes. The end of the commandment, the end of all things, the writing in this one's especially for Dan. In the writing of books, there is no end. Take it, big guy.
That's the one that finally got it anyway.
The best part is the much.